Okay, good morning to all. And now we start Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We're going to start from the Mishnah. And I hope everybody had enjoyed the daf on Yantif. And now we continue. Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Ein Ogden is Halulav El Bamino. So we finished the Mishnayos about what each of the Dalet Minim have to look like. That was the first four Mishnayos of Lulav HaGazel. So now we're up to the next Mishnah, which talks about, now it's time to put them together. So, Ein Ogden as a Lulav El Bamino, Dear Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're only allowed to bind the Lulav with its type. You can't bind the Lulav with something other than its type. We'll see why in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Omer, Afilu Bechut B'Meshicha. Even with a string, even with anything, says Rabbi Meir. You don't have to bind it with its type. Amar Rabbi Meir, Mais Avanchi Yerushalayim, Shaya Ogden as Lulavayim, B'Gimonio Shalzav. Story, the Anchi Yerushalayim. They used to buy their lulavs with golden ribbons. So that was not that wasn't a shalmin. It was a beautiful ribbon, but it wasn't of the min. So how do you answer that, Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yehuda says no. Underneath, they used to use its type. They used to use lulav branches. They used to use whatever some type of its min underneath. Just the outside to make it look nice as noi. That's when they used to use the gimonios shel zahav. But really, it's not a raya, says Rabbi Yehuda. So we have machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah, whether you have to bind the lulav with this type or not. So generally, the Minhag Yisrael, even though, as you see, the Paskin, you do not have to, but Paskin, we'll see what the machlokas is based on, we generally do bind it bimino, right? We use the lulav leaves that are cut off, and we bind it around to tie the lulav and the esrog together, and also the holders, the hadas and aravos holders, are made out of lulav branches. So that we generally hold like we're machmer like the Rabbi Yehuda Shita here, but meikra din we don't hold like it. Amar Rava, afilu b'siv, afilu b'ikra de dikla. Rava says even you not only are allowed to use according to Rabbi Yehuda the leaves of the lulav, but even the siv and the ikra de dikla, which is part of the palm trees that grow at the root, that also is considered mino, and would be enough for Rabbi Yehuda to say that you're allowed to bind the lulav with these items. V'yama Rava, my time to Rabbi Yehuda. So first Rabbi says, how do you know? What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? What's the reason? Why does Rabbi Yehuda require you to bind the lulav with its type? It's Rabbi Yehuda k'savak, why? Because the machlokas we've had before. Lulav tzarech eged. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that lulav requires to be bound, it requires an eged. If that is true, then the eged itself is significant. If the eged itself is significant, so then you look at it in conjunction with the other minim, and if you have a different min, so then it will be an Isra Baltosif. So that is why he holds lulav. That's lulav has to be bound bimino. Again, because lulav are eged, and that means that the eged itself is significant and prominent. So you look at what the eged is made out of. So you have to have the eged made out of one of the same minim of its type. So it won't be an isra of baltosif. The rabbanon holds. But Meir holds lulav ain't sarach eged. The Akronim discuss why doesn't the Mishnah just have the machlokas that lulav sarach eged or not? If that's the root machlokas, so why does it have this other machlokas about whether you have to be oged bimino or not? If that's just a function of the other machlokas, okay. But this is the machlokas that the Mishnah has, whether you have to be oged it bimino. V'yamar Rava mina mina la de siva ikra de dikla mina de lulavahu. So now that Rava has explain for us what the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is. Now he goes further and says, so how do I know, though, that if you have to bind it, bimino, how do I also know that you could use siv and ikra de dikla, which is the roots of the, not the roots, what grows out of the stump of the palm tree, how do you know that you could use those? How do you know that's called min? I might have thought that you have to use the leaves. How do I know that the siv and the ikra de dikla are also min of the lulav? So the Tanya has the brises as follows, and the proof is really going to be in about 15 lines from now. But first we talk about the following. The Tanya. But sukkos teshvu, you have to sit in a sukkah. Sukkah shall call davar divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that your schach is allowed to be made out of anything. Before I should point out, not anything. We have the three requirements in the first parak. It has to be something that grows from the ground. It has to be detached from the ground. And it has to be in a makabal toma. But kol davar is in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, as we'll see. Rabbi Yehuda holds it can be made out of anything. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein sukkah no heges, el bedal minusha baluv. An amazing Shita. The sukkah, the schach, have to come out of only materials like the dal aminim. Your schach could be made out of hadasim, and aravos, and lulavim. What about esrogim? Do you have a schach made out of esrogim? So the achronim seem to say lechor not, right? Esrogim are what? Makabuntumah. They're a pre, they're a makabuntumah. So what it must mean here, the kapas tamara must mean the tree part of the esrog. Or the, what the Aruch HaNer says, maybe it means tiny, small esrogim that are not makabal tumah. Either way, he can't reuse regular esrogim, because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that to those requirements. He just has more limitations, that it has to be those requirements from the first parak, also limited by only the Dalin Minish of Aluluv. V'hadin no sein, and Rabbi Yehuda continues, that there's a kal v'chomer that teaches you that your schach must be made out of Dalin Minim. Connection between lulav and sukkah. Ma lulav, right? We know that there's the Arizal says, or different minhag in the morning, when to bench lulav and esrog. Do you do it in the morning in your sukkah? In your sukkah, that's the Arizal. The Arizal says that you should have your, mix all the mitzvahs. Do your lulav, shake your lulav in your sukkah, so you're surrounded by mitzvahs, you're surrounding all the mitzvahs. The Torah quotes, some of Madaik in the Torah, that you're supposed to do it before Hallel. For Hallel, because the Iker Nanuim, the Iker Mitzvah of Lulav is B'shasa Hallel, so therefore you should make the bracha on Netilas Lulav right before Hallel. So Elu Ve'elu, whatever one's minhag is, one should do, but those are two different minhag. But the Arizal is that you have to connect the Lulav and the Sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that in an extreme way, that the Schach has to be made out of the Dalminim. That's the only one that it's allowed to be made out of. But he says it's based on a Kav HaChomer, V'hadin Nosein, Uma Lulav She'ein Noheg Balaylos Kibayamim, if a lulav, which is only noheg bayom, where there is no mitzvah of lulav balayla. We spoke about that last week. When we spoke about, there might be a chefzah shel lulav. The chiyuv might start at night, but really the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the time to be shake your lulav, is only by day. So if lulav is kal, the Gemara is looking at it as a leniency. If you only have to have shake your lulav by day, eino noheg yalo barbas haminim, and that kal halacha only applies to the Dalin Minim. Sukkah, Shenohegas Belelos Kibayamim. Sukkah, which is Noheg at night also, which is a stringency. You have to sit in your Sukkah day and night. Eino Din Shlote El Arabas Aminim. Shouldn't that also have the added stringency that you have to use only Dalin Minim for your Schach? Says Rabbi Yehuda, says Rava for Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Kal V'chomer, that you know that your Schach has to be made out of the Dalin Minim. It's two ha'aras. The Rashash here on this Kal V'chomer just says, the Gemara says, okay, what's the Kal V'chomer? If lulav, which is only by day, is not knowing by day, ain't knowing is only by Dalin Minim. What do you mean only by day? Since the Rashash is only one moment during the day, why doesn't the Gemara even go the extra step? Or what does the Gemara say? Mida'ag bay nafik bay. The first second that you pick up the lulav, you're yotzei. So it's not even, it's not just the conscious of day versus night, it's 1 second during the day versus the entire day and night, 24-hour period. Every time you want to eat, you have to eat in the sukkah. Versus lulav and esrog, the tilas lulav, which is pamachas bayom, it's 1 second. That's why we even pick it up upside down, because if we picked it up straight up, as we mentioned yesterday in the shir, if you pick it up straight up, you're yotzei already. So it's not only bayom, but it's pamachas bayom, says the Rishash. So yes, why does the Gemara say that more extreme case? So the Sharam Sarna Balacha quotes this Rishash, and he says maybe the answer is because even though the chiyuv ha-mitzvah of lulav is only 1 second during the day, but there is a kiyum as much as you shake your lulav and esrog, as much as you have your lulav and esrog. Where do you know that from? We mentioned this the first out of Yantif, second out of Yantif, Anshe Yerushalayim. The Gemara later on, we're going to have later in the week, but the Gemara says in the bottom of Memalafim Abeis, Kachayim in Hagan Shalashi Yerushalayim, Adam Yotzi Bei Beisov, the love of Buyado, person, the Anshe Yerushalayim used to go out of their house, carry the love him, Holoch Lebeis Akneses, the love of Buyado, Korish Kriyashma, the love of Buyado, Korish, etc., 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 Holoch Levaker Cholom, Lachim Levelim, the love of Buyado, carry you of an Esrog wherever you are. In other words, even though there's a chiyuv hamitzvah only at one moment, like the Rishash is kasha, but really, as all day, there's a chiyuv hamitzvah. The Anshe Yerushalayim didn't carry the lulav and esrogs throughout the night, only throughout the day. So maybe that's why the Gemara emphasizes it's noheg by yamim. It's only noheg by yamim. That means that there is a chiyuv, a mitzvah, and a muvchar, a zrizus, to carry it during the day as well, not just for 1 second. That's what he suggests to answer up the Rosh Hashanah's kasha. That's that. Okay, so the Rabbi Yehuda says there's a Kal V'chomer. If lulav, which is only noheg bayom, yet which is a kula, is only noheg by the Dalin Minim, so sukkah, which is noheg by Leilos Kibayamim, so surely it should only be by the Dalin Minim. So Amrulos, they answered back to Rabbi Yehuda, no. called din sha'ata dun tchilas lahachmir v'sof lahakel eno din. Anytime you have a kavachomer, which brings a chumra to a new context, but then it's going to end up bringing a kula as well, so you cannot make that kavachomer. Remember we mentioned last week, a kavachomer is based on one's own logic. You don't need a mesorah to make a kavachomer. It's based on one's own svara. So therefore you have to have limitations to when it's allowed. If they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't make a kavachomer if it's going to bring out a leniency. Why? What's the leniency here? It says the Gemara, lo matza arbas aminim yeyoshevi batel. I know the new halacha. I know the Rabbi Yehuda says I have to use dal aminim for my schach. So let's say I can't find it. Let's say the store sold out of dal aminim. So I don't have any for my schach. So what am I going to say? Oi! I'm an ones. I don't have a sukkah. I'm an ones. I'm going to sit in my house. I'm not going to eat in the I'm not going to have a sukkah. That's a pikula. V'hatora amr basukas teshvu. Shivas yamim. Sukkah shall call dover. Really, the schach can be... So you want to have an extra chumrah that your schach has to be made out of the dal and minim. But let's say you don't find the dal and minim. Then people are not going to have a sukkah at all. And that's a great leniency that you're giving them, and that's not acceptable. So that's why the Remeir says back to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot make such a kal v'chomer to limit your dal and minim, to limit your schach to dal and minim. Right? This is something called in the Gemara, nimsa chumro kulo. Nimsa kulo chumro. That you think you're being stringent, but a lot of times, the more stringent you are in a certain case, that will lead to a kula. We discussed this a couple months ago in the chumra shir. One of the rules and regulations of taking upon myself a chumra is to make sure that the chumra will not lead to extra leniencies in this area or in any other area. And we quoted Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says on Brachos, in Parshas Brachos, coming up in 2 weeks, by Brachos, by the Chava in the Eitz Hadas, where Chava says to the Nachash that Kadosh Baruch Hu told me not to touch the tree. Obviously, we know, says the Rav Hirsch, this was a nice idea, theoretically. Right? There's a concept of a su siag la Torah. You can have a siag for a Torah. The problem is that she viewed this siag as the din. She took upon this chumra, but she viewed it as the din, and she blurred the lines between the chumra and the din. If she would have said, Hashem told me not to eat from the tree, and I'm not even going to touch the tree, then that would have been fine. The Nachash wouldn't have been able to trick her. But she said, Hashem told me not to touch the tree. And then Rav Hirsch continues and says, this is an example where you try to take upon yourself a chumra, a siyag, and then if it is not appropriate, it could lead to tremendous kulas, and you can just forget the whole din as it is. Hence, we have at once the beginning of a siyag. This was a fence law which Adam's conscientiousness has added to God's prohibition to protect himself from transgressing it. So in general, it's good. But, obviously, if it leads to a kula, so then it is inappropriate, like the Gemara here says, this chumra, Rabbi Yehuda, is going to lead to a kula, and that's why it's inappropriate. Yeah.
In terms of lulav not being no heges at night, it's still, I mean,
if it was the concept, we said it still has a shame. In terms of lulav, right, we mentioned it has a shame lulav. The chiyuv might be conceptually there, but it is not noheg. The chiyuv, the kiyum is not noheg. So here it says no heges going on the kiyum. It's going on the kiyuv. Okay, continuing the Gemara. V'chein be'ezra. Omer, the Pasuk in Ezra also, we didn't get up to the proof yet, that way why we brought this whole Brisa here, we'll get up to that soon. V'chein be'Ezra Omer, and also in Ezra we find a Pasuk that seems to tell us that you can make your schach out of anything, and we're about to quote a Pasuk from Nehemiah. Right, so we discussed this also earlier. See the Gilyon HaShas here? Gilyon HaShas here says, Ayin earlier, Gilyon Yudaf Yudbeis. There Rashi calls a Pasuk in Nehemiah, and he calls it Ezra. So you see, throughout Rashi does that a few times, but really here the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara calls Sefer Nehemiah the second half of Sefer Ezra, really, as we have it as split up. But V'chein be'Ezra Omer, Tzu'u Ahar V'Aviyu Alei, when they're telling them to build Sukkos, Tzu'u Ahar V'Aviyu Alei Zayis, go to the mountain and bring Alei Zayis, V'Alei Eitz, Shemen, V'Alei Hadas, V'Alei Tzmar, V'Alei Eitz Avos, bring all of these leaves, La'asos Sukkos Kakasuv, to build your Sukkos. And what's included here? Leaves of Zaysim. Right? That's not Dal and Minim. So you see, this is a Mefurish Pasuk in Ezra, or in Nehemiah, that tells you to build your Sukkos with any material. So the Kapos Tamarim asks, it's very unusual for the Gemara to mention where they're quoting a Pasuk from. The Gemara will say, Kakosov, or Shenemar. V'chein be'Ezra, what do you mean Ezra? Why does Gemara have to quote that this pasuk is a pasuk in Ezra? Atu lo yadana, the pasuk zehu b'sefer Ezra? Don't we know it's in Sefer Ezra? Come on, give us some credit. What do we know it's in Sefer Ezra? Maybe that's why. Because the Gemara knows that we even if you start learning Tanakh, Ezra's all the way at the end. Right? So that's what you have to get to the end of Ksuvim. But the Gemara, Kapos Tamarim asks, why do we have to say this? He says, the Efshar. Maybe it's possible based on Gemara and Sanhedrin. Gemara and Sanhedrin of Daf Chaf Aleph says, Ra'ui haya Ezra shetinasin Torah al yado li Yisrael. Il mali lo kadmu Moshe. Ezra HaSofer was so great that really he would have been Zoche to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael had it not been for Moshe who was mocked into him. In other words, Ezra was on par, he was on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. So suggest the kapos tamarim. It could have been Ezra had that power of drasha, that power of pilpul, that he could have really made certain new laws. He could have been mechadesh certain laws to Klal Yisrael. So it's emphasizing here, v'chein be'ezra hu omer, Ezra who has this power to be mechadesh laws, even he says the same exact law as Moshe Rabbeinu said. And that is that you can make your schach out of anything, not just limited to the dalet minim. So that's the emphasis of Ezra. Ezra who has this koach, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara Sanhedrin says, yet he still did not, according to the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Meir, still didn't make any new drushes to say that your sukkah has to be made out of the dalet minim. No, he didn't do that. He also agreed with Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it throws in V'chein Be'ezer Hu Omer. The Gemara continues, though, quoting. So what is Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, who limits the schach to be made out of the dalan minim. What does he do with this pasuk in Ezra, which seems to say it can be made out of anything? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Hayne L'Tfanos. No, the first few items in the pasuk referring to making the walls. Ali Hadas, Ali Tamar, Ali Eitz Avos L'Schach. Right, so that's the rest are referring to schach. But what did these past 10 lines teach us? We didn't get to the proof yet. Let's go back to remember the structure. Rava asked 10 lines from the bottom of the previous Amud, how do I know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to bind your lulav and esrog with the min of the dalan minim, you can't have an extra min, how do I know that he would even allow siv and ikra tikla, which are growths from the stump of the lulav tree? How do I know he would allow that? That's what we're trying to figure out now. So, step one in the proof is that Rabbi Yehuda says your schach also has to be made out of dalan minim. Step one. Step two of the proof now, and here we're finishing up, Vitnan, and the Mishnah we had earlier says, Misachachin bin Nisarim divar Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah earlier says you're allowed to use boards for schach according to Rabbi Yehuda. 1 second. You're allowed to use boards for schach? You have to use dalet minim according to Rabbi Yehuda. How can you use boards? It must be that the bottom of the trees and the stump and the trunks of the trees are also called that min for schach. So if they're called that min for schach, it must be they're also called that min for binding your dalet minim. Alma siv ikra dedikla mina deluva hu shma mina. It must be that he would allow it. Just like he would allow it for schach, so he would allow it for dalet minim. Because we just said that he has a comparison and he requires you to use dalan minim for both. Period. End of proof. Period. Umiyam Rabbi Yehuda, let's go further now. Umiyam Rabbi Yehuda, Abra Minim, Midachrini Lo. Does Rabbi Yehuda really say that you have to use dalan minim for your schach? Amazing shita. V'hatanya, we had a brisa earlier. Sichcha Menesarim Shal Eret, Sheish Ben Dalat Fachim. In the sugya earlier of the Gzeras Tikra, of having big boards for your schach. So there the Brisa said, if you put Nisarim Shal Erez, cedar boards that are 4 tvachim wide, Dibrei Kol Psula. Everybody agrees that's a problem. Anybody in Dalet Tvachim, if they don't have Dalet Tvachim, that's the Machlokas. Rebbeir Poser, Rebbe Yehuda Machsher. Rebbe Yehuda was the Mekel Shita that he would allow you as long as they weren't 4 tvachim wide. Umoder Rebbeir, and Rebbe Meir though did admit, Shemish Beinesel and Neser, Kamali Neser, if you have equal space in between these boards, that you could put kosher schach in between and they're kosher. But what do you see from this whole machlokas? We're talking to Rabbi Yehuda holds that these erez, these boards of erez are okay as long as they're not too wide. But what do you mean? That's not dalet minim. Erez, cedar trees. That's not dalet minim. So how can you, even if they're skinny, how can he allow you to use them for schach? So our answer is my erez hadas. No. Cedar trees, erez, hadas bushes also can be referred to by erez. Kedrav barafuna, Rabbi Barafuna, as Rabbi Barafuna says, Amri beirav, asara mini arazim heim. Really, there are 10 types of cedars. Shnemar atin ba midra erez, shita, vahadas, vahulu. So therefore, it is one of the dalan minim, no raya, no problem. Okay, two dots. Rabbi Meir omer afilu b'meshicha. Rabbi Meir says, right in the Machlokas and the Mishnah, that you're allowed to bind your lulav with your hadasim and aravos, really with anything. You don't have to use mino, you could even use strings. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Meir, Maisa B'Yakira Yerushalayim Shoyodnes Lovayim B'Gamani Yoshozav. Rabbi Meir says it was a story that they used to bind them with these golden ribbons. Amrulah Misham Raya B'Mino Hayodnes Lamalamata. They said, no, Raya. They, underneath, they bound them with their min. So only the gold was only on top, but underneath they bound them with their min. After the Kapos Tamarim, didn't we have this in the Mishnah? What's the Brisa adding? We have the exact same story and the exact same disproof in the Mishnah. So what is this Brisa adding that we didn't know in the Mishnah? Okay, Machid is a Talmud Shehevi Brisa Zu. Right. So what's the? Oh, there's one difference. If you look closely, one difference in the stories. Our Mishnah says Maisa be Anshe Yerushalayim. The Brisa says Maisa be Yakire Yerushalayim. Who are Yakire Yerushalayim? Rashi says Nechbade Yerushalayim Ha'ashirim. Nechbade Yerushalayim Ha'ashirim. The rich ones used to bind with ribbons. So what's the chiddush? So says the Kapos Tamarim. A few answers, but he says number one, Yesh Lomar Shekala Amaya Osen Kain. In the Mishnah, you just get the raya that everybody did it. Ube Brisa Ktani Maisa be Yakire Yerushalayim. What's the chiddush? Dashmina na Brisa Derech Eretz Shel Anshe Yerushalayim. To lo hayu kol ha'am mevaz bezin lasos gimonios shel zav el hashir belvad. The Brisa is telling me that if you don't have enough money, this is not one of your places. If you want to do a hider mitzvah, the hider mitzvah doesn't have to be with the egged of the lulav. Spend your money. If the rich people did this, the other people, only the Nechmada Yerushalayim did this. But the other, the Hamonam, they didn't spend their money on beautifying their eged of their lulav. You know, you want to beautify your esrog itself, your lulav. So that's a place where to spend your money of bizbuz on hider mitzvah. But not the Hamonam. Because maybe that's the chiddush of the Brisa. And he gives other answers as well, but we'll just mention that one.
But why is that not still adding an extra min, even though you have?
Why is that not adding an extra min? Because what was the svara of Rabbi Yehuda? The Yehuda's svara was lulav tsarech eged, and therefore the eged is significant and it's viewed as another min. But anything outside the eged would not be viewed as another min, because that wouldn't be Baal Tosef, because that's not in the context of the mitzvah. Again, Baal Tosef, a rule of Baal Tosef, it has to be somehow connected in the context of a mitzvah. Generally, how most Baal Tosefs are. Sitting in a, sleeping in a sukkah, right, in Israel, on Shmini Atzeres, L'Shem Sukkah. You know, some type of, adding a fifth min, a fifth corner on your tzitzis. All those are in the context of a mitzvah. What about making up your own mitzvah? So that we say it's Machlokas Rashi in the Ramban, but the mitzvah belibo. Can you make up your own mitzvah and say, Hashem commanded to be this? Is that an Isra Baal Tosef? That seems to be a machlokas. Again, that is generally has to be in the context of a mitzvah. So here, the eged itself will be significant and viewed as another min, but outside would not. Okay, Amar Lahu Rabba. So now we have a couple of statements, five to be exact, five statements of Rabba regarding lulav. Number one, Amar Lahu Rabba, Lahanu Magazle Hoshana the Beirish Galusa. Rabba told those people who used to bind the lulavs for everybody. Right, they used to work in they were behind the counter by the when you go by your lulav and esrogs, and they bind it for you. They wind it for you. So he used to tell them as follows: Gida Lisa Hoshana the Beirish Galusa. When you bind the hoshanas, which the Gemara called the lulav set, is called a hoshana. When you do it, Shairi Ba Beis Yad. Make sure that you don't bind it in the place where the people hold the lulav. That should be left. You don't want it to be a chatzitza between the person's hands and the lulav. You want him to be hold it directly. It says a lakachtem lachem. Lakicha has to be a straight, pure lakicha, and therefore don't have the eged there. The Rashi and Tosas point out here that there are two assumptions of this statement. Number one is that the eged is going to be a chatzitza. What do you mean the eged? Don't you require an eged? So Rashi says this first statement of Rabba must be going lamanda amar l'rabbanan lulav ein sarech eged. So number one of this statement is that it must be the eged is not needed. Number two, Tosva says it must be that he holds min bamino chotzeitz, that even if using the same type, it's going to create a chatzitza. So number one, it must be you don't need this. Number two, even if you don't need it, you have to say it's called a chatzitza. That's why he must be telling them to have this zahirus, that to make sure that when you hold your hand on the lulav, that you don't have this separation. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Kolina oso eino chotzeis. Very important principle for Hilchas Chatzitza in Hilchas Nida as well. But Rava says here, anything that's there for beauty is not called a chatzitza. and therefore this is there, even if you don't require, right? What do we say? That the Rabbanan ain't sarach eged, but still l'chadchila you should have an eged because of zekeli v'enveyu, for beauty. And therefore, Rava, according to the assumptions that we said, let's say would argue on the first one, that even though ain't sarach eged, but still is for beauty, and it would not represent a chatzitza. So that is an important statement of Rava. This Gemara is the basis of a discussion in Hilchos Sukkah. We're going to focus on that today, in Yonah D'Yoma and the Daaf. That is in Aguda. What does the Aguda say? One of the late Rishonim. Basically, quotes the Aguda, who says that when you're being known to Lulav and Esrog, if you have the minhag to wear tefillin, says the Aguda, you have to take your tefillin and wrap them on your wrist, like you're doing Hagba, because you don't want to have the tefillin to be a chatzitza between your hand and the Lulav. And says the Aguda, continuing, let's say a woman is shaking a Lulav and Esrog, she should take off her rings, right? So you don't have any chatzitza. Right, so you have to spread the word. But then the Aguda says, "Avolnirali, I don't think it's a problem. I even though I think this is lachadchila meikra din, I don't think this is a problem. Avolnirali di bishimhachi eisricham lasirim. The dafka hecha de korach kula yade. Chatzitz is only if your entire hand is covered and you're not touching it. But here you have a ring, so what? Your little tiny space on your finger is not touching the little of an asterisk. That's not going to be a problem. What the one stripe with a tefillin is, right? That's gonna be a chatzitza. So the Aguda ends up saying it's not a problem. The Bach here says, no, I think this is Meikar Adin. I like this Aguda. I don't know why people, he thinks it's just a chumrah. And he's upset at the Ramah, because the Ramah quotes this. The Ramah quotes that Lisha take off. Where's the Ramah? The Ramah is in Tafresh Nun Aleph. Where's my Ramah here? Oh, I don't have it here. Anyway, you look at the Ramah. The Ramah quotes it as a Yesh Machmirim. Yesh Machmirim to... Oh, I do have it. Thank you. I had it somewhere. Tav Reish Nun Aleph, says the Ramah. Let me just find it. The Ramah says in Tav Reish Nun Aleph, Sif Zayin, V'nahagu lahachmir, lahasir hatfilin v'tabos miyadam, ava medina ein lachesh hol v'ein kol hayad mechusa bahen. Right, that's the Ramah. So somebody has to wear tefillin, it's a chumrah, but the Ramah quotes it, that you should wrap on the wrist so that you could behold your lulav and esrog with your actual full, complete hand. The Ritva here notes that we're not really talking, it's hard to compare Hilchas Chatzitza of going into a mikvah and Hilchas Chatzitza of holding a lulav. So when the Gemara here says Chatzitza, says the Ritva, it really doesn't mean Chatzitza. What it really means is Lekicha Tama. It means a complete lekicha. Lekachem lachem lekicha. You have to have a complete lekicha. So you can't say that it really means chatzitza. Chatzitza is for hilchas tevila and other halachas. But he says it's comparing chatzitza to lekicha tama. Yeah.
So both of them were still in a full
thing. What about if?
So both of them were still
in a full thing. So both. Well, I don't know if he's saying the word tefillin. You have to look in Siman Lamed Aleph and Arachayim. That's where, right, the Ramah quotes to wear tefillin. That's Machloket B'chaber and the Ramah, Slashitasim. The Machaber says not to wear tefillin, and the Ramah says to wear tefillin, to what the bracha, what do you do with the bracha, say it quietly, that's in Arachayim. Right, but the Ramah Lashitaso here, good Ha'ara, the Ramah Lashitaso is that you wear tefillin on a Chalamoy. Okay, let us continue now. V'yama Rabba. Rabba statement number two. Lo linkut inish oshana besudra, t'minil ki chatam avalaka. Rabba says... Another statement, don't hold your Hoshana in a handkerchief, meaning don't hold a shmata around your Lulav and Esrog, because you need a lekicha tama. You need a complete lekicha, but like you don't have one. So according to the Ritva, chatzitza and lekicha are the same issue. From the Gemara, it sounds like it's two issues. Because first it says chatzitza, and then it talks about lekicha. But that's the Ritva says they are linked. So that's what Rabba says. You shouldn't have a hank. You should be holding your Lulav and Esrog directly. For Rabba Amar, lekicha, de davarach eshma lekicha, no problem. Even a lekicha, but through another item, is still called the lekicha. What if you wear gloves? Post can talk about gloves. Whenever you have to hold something, if you wear gloves, is that called a hefsek? Or is that batel to your hands? Okay? So lekicha de davarach eshma lekicha. Amar Rava, mina amina la. How do you know the lekicha de davarach eshma lekicha? How do I know that holding something with the help of something else is called holding the other item? Meaning if I'm holding something, I have to hold B, but I'm holding B with the help of A, that's called holding B. So how do I know that's true? I know it from Hilchas Paraduma. Ditzan, as the Mishnah says, in Para, Ezov, Katsar, let's say, we know that the somebody who's Tamei Meis had to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma mixed in Mayim Chaim, mixed in natural spring water. So sometimes they didn't just keep it in the base of Mikdash, they sent it around to different places to sprinkle in the different places where people were. So let's say they used to transport it, Rashi explains based on the Mishnah, to transport it in what we would call straw. in straws, right? And so that it's very skinny, not makabel tumah. So they used to transport in straws, and then when it come to the place, you'd stick your azov branch into the straw. You'll get some mayim chaim on it, and then you sprinkle it onto the person who was tamei meis. So azov katzar. What if your azov branch is too short? You're sticking it in, but you know it's all the way at the bottom. So that's why it won't reach. So what do you do? Misafko b'chut. So you could tie a string on the edge of it, ubekush or a spindle from the womb, v'tovel, and dip it in umalav ochas be'ezov umazet, and then take it and sprinkle on the tummy mace. They ask the Amai, how could you use something that's connected to the ezov? V'lakach v'tovel amarachmana. You have to take it in your hands. This is the verb that you have to take it in your hands. How could you use this extension? So Allah Shmamina, it must be that Shmamina Likicha, the Devarakash Malakicha, that's his raya, that holding something with the help of something else is called a Likicha. Says Gemara, that's no raya mimai. Duma Shani Hasam, Kivin Dechabre Kigufe Dami. No, that's not like holding a lulav in a handkerchief where it's two separate items. Here, you've extended the Azov. So it's become part of the azov. Let's say you have an extension cord. So you plug something in. So the extension cord elongates what's there. It's not like a new a hefsek. Now you have a longer cord, but it unites. So here too, you've made longer. You've elongated the azov. But they can't compare that to a lakicha de davar acher, where you have a hefsek between what you're holding and your hand. So we said you're right. You have a different halacha from Hilchos Parah Adumah. Not only did they transport the water, the paraduma, they also transported the ashes, the efer hapara. And the halacha was that you have in your pail, you have the mayim chayim. It says mayim chayim al keli, the pasuk in Parshas Chukas, and you sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma onto the water. That was the halacha. What happens if you didn't sprinkle it? But nafal mishvah feris l'shokas. Let's say they fell in. The ash of the paraduma fell into the pail where the water is. Puzzle, that doesn't count. Because you have to actually put it into the pail. But ha hi pilu. So this mashma that only if it fell in by a mistake, it's puzzle. But ha hi pilu. But if you, dafka, threw it in there, kosher is kosher. Even if you didn't do it in your hands, even if you did it from the bowl, you just pour the bowl in. Doesn't the pasuk say you have to do it mamish with your hands? Say Elash Mamina, that's the raya. Shmamina lekicha, the devar acher shma lekicha. The halacha is that's Rav's proof. That's how you know that taking something ma'isa lekicha with holding something else is okay. So it's like it's okay, but paraduma. That's why Rav says also if you hold your lulav with a handkerchief and not touching it by itself, that's also okay. Okay, we're up to now Rabbah number three halacha about lulav. Yeah. According to yesterday's story, those who weren't here, remember the story right before the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva walks into the shul with a humongous esrog on his shoulder, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden had said it can't be that he was yotzei the mitzvah that way, because that's not regular ma'aseh netilah. You have it on his shoulder, it must be that he put it in front of him, holding it heavy with his lulav while he shook it. So would that be a problem for getting the issue of the ma'aseh netilah with his shoulder? But what if he's on his shoulder without a shirt? Maybe he puts a dafki, pulls his shirt out, so it's on his. Does it have to hold your skin of your hand or just the skin of your body? I don't know. But the Rav Yaakov Emden in the back didn't bring that issue up. But right, okay. Okay, third line. V'yama Rabba lo ladutz inish luva b'hoshana duma natri tarfi v'avichatzisa. Interesting. Halach l'maisa. What do many of us do? Overnight, we take out our lulav and esrog zekel and we put it into the fridge somehow, or we wrap it up, and then in the morning we stick our lulav in and we have it for the next day. So says Rav, you got to be careful, Rabbo, you got to be careful when you do that, because sometimes when you pull out your lulav and you put it back in, it's going to rip off some of the leaves of the hadassim and the aravos. So now those are going to be detached, and that's going to be a hefsik. That's going to be a chatitza between your lulavs and your hadassim and your aravos, because those leaves aren't attached anymore. So that's not called hadassim and aravos anymore. So you've got to be very careful when you stick it back in. But Rava Amar, and again here, Rava argues, min b'mino eino chotzeis. Now, even if they come off a little bit, you got to be worried. You got to make sure your leaves are still there. But having detached leaves in between is not a chatitza. Min b'mino, if you have min with its own type, does not represent a chatitza. Okay, so we should be careful in general that you don't rip your leaves off, but min b'mino is not chotzeis. Fine. Next, Vama Rabba, fourth halacha of Rabba. Well, Legos inish lova bahoshana Again, let's say, Rashi explains this case, let's say your minim are too long. Sometimes you get rabos that are very long. You don't want the rabos to be so big. So you're going to chop them off at the bottom to make them shorter. You can't chop them off at the top. That's nektam rosho. You're going to chop them off at the bottom to make them shorter. Suggests Rabba, don't do that while all the minim are still in the eged, after they're all tied up. Because maybe you'll chop them off, you might cut off a branch of the lulav also. The lulav has long branches, and you won't realize. You'll have a detached lulav branch in between, and again, that might create a chatzitza. V'rava amar again, min b'mino ena chotzis. Rava says, you don't have to worry about it so much, because it's min b'mino, and it does not create a chatzitza. Period. Number five, Yama Rabba. Hadas shel mitzvah asel ha-riachbo. Says Rabba, you're not allowed to smell your hadasim, because they are huksa. Well, we'll see why in a second. Esrog shel mitzvah mutal ariechbo. But you're allowed to smell your esrog. You're not allowed to smell your hadasim. You're not allowed to eat your esrog. My taima. Why? Hadas l'reicha koi. What's the mahus of a hadas? What's the greatest, what's the main hana'ah that you get from a hadas? Smelling. Right? What happens after sukkahs? A lot of people use their hadasim for besamim. So a hadas, and you're allowed to do that. Why? Because the hadas is tashmishe mitzvah, and after the mitzvah is finished, you can use it for anything. So you're using it for another mitzvah. So a hadas, which is made to smell, ki akse merecha akse. So what is the original kavana of your haksa'a l'mitzvah? The smelling. So that's why you're not allowed to smell a hadas, because that's what its ikar is for. Esrog de la achila koi, an esrog which is though, the main hana of an esrog is to eat, so ki akse mi achila akse. When you're maksit from your das, it must be that you chose in your mind, the achila of the esrog, and therefore eating the esrog on sukkis is a problem, but smelling the esrog is not a problem. This Gemara is spoken about a lot in Yaradeya, in the sugya of Recha Milsa, and Recha La Milsa. Possibly we have the Gemara in Psachim about it. But this is the big question about using one oven, or how to use one oven for milchiks and fleishiks by dry foods, the issue of Recha, aroma. So this Gemara is spoken about by the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach there, or just give you an example, the Shulchan Aruch there says, Bisamim shel avodah zara v'kilai hakerem v'arla asr l'hariach v'hem. Bisamim avodah zara, you're not allowed to smell them. See, the Shach talks about our Gemara. Does that apply to anything that's asr bahana? Because our Gemara talks about huksa l'mitzvaso. So in that context, this Gemara is quoted and discussed whether it's a raya one way or the other way. The Meiri asks a similar question to what we had yesterday. Can you make a tnai? What if you want, like, you love smelling your hadasim? Can you make a tnai that I want to smell my hadasim? Remember what we had yesterday? Rabbi Chanina took a bite out of his esrog, and then he used it to be yotzei the mitzvah, right? So the Ritva there says it must be he made a tnai before. And the Rosh, how could he be yotzei your how can you take a bite out of your esrog? So it must be made a tnai. So by the way, I saw that somebody asked me at the end of the shir, as a joke, he asked me, but I said it's a good question, but you can smile when you ask. How could he take a bite out of his esrog? You're not allowed to eat before you shake lulav of an esrog. So somebody asked me that yesterday after the shiur. How can you eat? So I said, somebody's got to ask that question. So last night, Rabbi Yashav asked that kasha. Right, he asked that kasha, how can you eat? So it must be that he took a bite out of it at night. Must be at night before when you have yosei. So he took a bite out of it at night, and the next day, you're allowed to eat at night. That's not before the mitzvah. So I said, somebody's got to ask it, Baruch Hashem. Somebody asked that kasha. But there we had yesterday, the Ritva says, it must be made at Tanai. So does the Tanai work here? So the Meiri quotes two different days. It says, Yesh omrim, shalom neser hadas bereach v'ezer b'achila el menastam. Avalim hissen aleim mutarim k'no yisukka. Just like you make tanam by your decorations we had earlier. So too, here you can make a Tanai as well. The Meiri here does not like it. He thinks, no, noisukka are extra. They're beautifications of the mitzvah, so you can make a Tanai. But to make a Tanai beguf ha-mitzvah, he says, that's very difficult to say. Even though he says, what about esrog? What can I do? The esrog case, obviously, made a tznai. But he says, really, misvara, I'd rather say that a tznai cannot work by a gufa mitzvah. By a gufa mitzvah, you're not allowed to get anah. Right? That's huksa. That's huksa l'mitzvah. Okay, v'yama rabba, next. Hadas. Now we get to Hilchos Shabbos for a minute. Hilchos Shabbos. Hadas v'mechubar b'tel ariechbo. Let's say you have a hadas that's growing from the ground. Are you allowed to smell? It's not sukkahs. It's Shabbos. So you don't have any huksa l'mitzvaso problem. Are you allowed to smell a hadas? Or for that matter, could you smell a beautiful flower on Shabbos that's growing? You're not allowed to touch it, right? Because that's an iser d'rabbanan of hishtamshus be things that are growing. So hadas b'mechubar motel ariechbo. So if you have a flower, a beautiful flower, a rose, you're allowed to smell it on Shabbos, even if it's attached to the ground. Esrog b'mechubar motel ariechbo. But if you have a wonderfully smelling fruit, like an esrog that's attached to the ground, you're not allowed to smell it. Halacha lemaisa. Why? My taima hadas lahariya koi. A hadas, which is meant, is there for smelling. Ishari say loasi lemigzei. So a hadas is there for smelling. So you're smelling it now. So you're not going to come to cut it off because you're smelling it just as good now that you would if you would cut it off. So there's no reason to make a gzera. But esrog de lahachila koi, esrog which is made to eat, its main usage is to eat. If you allow the person to smell the esrog when it's attached, then you might have to cut it off because that's the ikker usage of the esrog. So therefore, you're not allowed to smell. Halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskens. You're not allowed to smell sweet, nice smelling fruits that are attached on Shabbos because you might have to cut it off. But you're allowed to smell sweet smelling flowers without touching them because you're not going to come cut it off because that is, you're getting the same hana now as you would then. What are you worried about? Asi lemigzei. Right? What are you worried about? Esrog. There's much talked about Rashi and Hilchah Shabbos here. Rashi says, by esrog, when you smell it, you might forget. You might forget and do what? So look at Rashi. Aval esrog de achilokoi ki morach le, minshi, you might forget, v'talish v'achale, and you might come and eat it. V'af im ochlo bimachubar, you might just chomp on it while it's still attached. And even though, right, it's that's what you're worried about. Ein lecha tolesh gadol mizeh. There is no greater tlisha than taking a bite out of it while it's still attached to the ground. That's Rashi. If you remember, a couple years back we discussed this in the Melacha of Kotzer. This is discussed. Is this, Rashi seems to say this is daraisa, right? Ein lecha tolesh gadol mizeh. If you take a bite out of an apple that's still attached to the tree on Shabbos, is that a Melacha daraisa? That's Kotzer daraisa. That's not a shinui. So the Magen Avraham says, no, it must be Rashi Zerabanan. Must be Rashi Zerabanan. But Pasha Rashi says, like, it's Daraisa. Yeah?
How about smelling the leaves on the tree if the fruit's not there?
So smelling the leaves on the tree if the fruit's not there is probably okay, because you're not worried about that. But what do you... Maybe, I don't know, if you would eat the leaves, then maybe. But what's Rashi talking about? Isn't that a shinui? Is that the greatest shinui in the world? So if it's a shinui, you're worried you're making a gzera, you can't smell it because you might come to kotzer it in a shinui way. Isn't that a gzera l'gzera then? If it's a drabanan, you haven't seen Rashi's daraisa. But if it's Rashi's daraisa, taking a bite out of an apple while still on the tree is daraisa? That's regular? So says the Egle Tal in Melechas Kotzer. Ha'ochel mi mechuba l'karka. Im asa kein la'aso shinui pater. Says that it depends what your kavana is. If the normal way correct is to eat, to not to detach the fruit from the ground with your teeth, to eat it directly from the ground. So if you're doing it with your teeth to do a shinui, because you want to do a drabanan for whatever tzorach, you want to get it from a drabanan, then that's called a shinui. But if the only reason you're doing it is because you forget it's Shabbos and you're hungry and you want to eat it quicker, that's normal. That's normal ingestion of food. You're doing it because you're starving. So that's not called a shinui. So that's, he bases it on this Rashi. So it depends what your kavan is. Shinui is subjective depending on what the context is. What if it was Yom Kippur? So again, if you're doing it l'shem shinui, so then it's better. It's called a shinui.
Smelling.
So what about smelling on Yom Kippur? Yeah, what's wrong with smelling on Yom Kippur? You gotta get another bracha. There's no chash that you might eat. You might forget, just like you might forget a Shabbos, you might forget it's Yom Kippur. Doesn't make a difference. You might forget. Why? Because you're not eating anything else. I don't know. Okay. V'yama Rabba. Seventh halacha of Rabba. Lulav v'yamin v'asrog b'smol. We referred to this before. Halacha l'maisa. Unbelievable. Today, sukkis again. Lulav v'yamin, you hold your lulav in your right hand and your esrog in your left hand. Quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We mentioned that the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch and early Achronim discussed that they wonder how many people do not fulfill this halacha. Right, many have both in their right hand and their sitter in their left hand. So again, the Rav Sternbach has a piece in Moadim Uzmanim where he's masik the minug. Why it is that it's okay that many people don't do this? It might be because people do it during Hoshanas, Meikar Adin. The Hallel is all you need to have it in the right and the left hand. So people do it for that. Hoshanas is extra. Hoshanas is a minug. So he's trying to be masik the minug. Again, he in Piskei Tshuvas here, he quotes, V'tzarach Iyin, Madua Ein Holim Nisharim Bazeh, V'kir Nirin Ishtari Shadavar, because you have to hold the machzor and it's hard, and there's a smach in Yalkut Tehillim, the Gra quotes this on Shulchan Aruch, that they should have lulav in the right hand and esrog in the left hand. Ketzat Seder HaHakafa, How do they do hakafis even in Bayoshanis in the Beis Hamikdash? Call Yisrael gedolim uktanim notan luvayim biyadam ayimonis v'esrogeyim bismalis umakifin. So even a yalka, the Medrash in Tehillim, also has this idea that you should have them in separate hands. You have a luv in the right and esrog on the left. I was asked a shaila yesterday. What about a lefty? What about a lefty? So lefty machlokas mechaber in the Ramah. What does a lefty do? So the mechaber says nothing. Mechaber says keep it the same way. Chaber says, Iter, Nota, Lula, Biyamin, Kal Adam, the Esrog, Bismol, Kal Adam. Tabasi, Yamin, Bismol, the Almazin, and Vlobasi, Yamin, Bismol, the day. The only time you switch, says the Shulchan Aruch, is Tfilin. Tfilin is a separate din. But the Ramah, the Minhag Olam, the Ramah says, V'yesh Omrim, no, you switch. Dazlina Basu Yamin, the day. So a lefty takes a Lulav in his left hand, and Esrog in his right hand. Tishlito, Halulav, Yamin, the day, Vesrog, Bismol, the day. V'chein Noga, V'chein Iker. That seems to be the Minhag. But somebody did ask me a follow-up question, which I did not find the answer to, and that is, let's say you're a lefty, so you switch the Lulav and the Esrog. So the Lulav is in the left hand, and the Esrog's in the right hand. Do you switch your Hadassim and Aravis? Do you switch your Hadassim and Aravis because Al Pi Kabbalah, he said, I wasn't familiar with this, that the Aravis is supposed to be next to the Esrog, because the Esrog is the greatest min, the Aravis is the lowest min, you put them together, Achtos, unbelievable, wonderful. But I'm not sure about that. So the lefties that I've seen is to hold it straight. The Hadassim is all on the right side. Well, Chaim, you're a lefty? So you do the Hadassim straight on the right side. Right, so I think that's the Minhag is like the Ramah. You switch the Lulav and the Hadassim and the Aravis. And the again, maybe I don't know if that whether you switch the Hadassim and the Aravos is up to Minhag. Again, I didn't see it anywhere, but definitely switching the Lulav and Esrog, Machos Mechab and the Ramah, you should switch. Let's just finish up. My time, why is it? Why do you have your Lulav in the right hand and Esrog in the left hand? Hani Tlasa mitzvahs v'hari chada mitzvah. Because the Lulav has three mitzvahs. Doesn't really mean three mitzvahs. Three parts of the mitzvah, the Hadassim and the Aravos and the Lulav, and the Esrog is only one. Similar. My time lomo vrachin al natilas lubav. Why does your bracha al natilas lubav? Why not al natilas dalaminim? Or al natilas lulav va'aravos va'hadasim esrog? We had, what happens if you take them one after another? So then some rishonim say maybe you'll make the separate brachas. But really, as we take them, why do you only say al natilas lulav? So Gemara says, ho v'gavoa mikulan. It's the tallest one. It's the highest one. So that's why you make the bracha on it. Ask the Gemara. You can get out of that problem. So hold your esrog up here. So the esrog will be the tallest one. So I said, no, you don't understand. Doesn't mean where you're holding it. It means naturally it's the tallest one. The Rambam seems to understand this not just as a physical tallest one. Because when the Rambam quotes this, he quotes, why do you make out a tilas lulav? Hoil v'kulon smuchin lo. Since all of them are samach, rely on the lulav. So the Lecha Mishnah there says, what's the Rambam talking about? The Gemara gives a different reason. It must be this how he understands this line. Gavoa mikulan is something substantive about the lulav. That somehow defines all of dalminim, this idea of hoel v'kulan semuchim. Okay, stop here. Menachem will keep, I'm not going to be away for... I'll see our listeners in Baltimore. I'll be in Baltimore for a couple days. Best of all, I'll be back on Friday morning giving the daf. Menachem will do the next few days. Again, great stuff. Shomei Ka'one coming up. Hallel. Nanuim. And best of all, I'll be back on Hoshana Rabbah.
You're not the only person who can answer that question.